From the Roots Up. CIUT 89.5 FM. Toronto.
And welcome to the Taylor Report, CIUT 89.5 FM. I'm Phil Taylor, your host, and we're going to be talking today with an interesting topic. We're going to talk to a world-class, I'm going to use that tired expression, world-class Scrabble player about a Scrabble tournament which recently completed in Havana, Cuba, or nearby, Veradero, I suppose. And his second notoriety is Tony Leah, who is a veteran of the Unifor Union. And we're going to be talking so about the Scrabble tournament in Cuba, and we're going to be talking about the developments. There was a demonstration over the weekend in Windsor, and I heard that some people were calling for changing the name of the Detroit River to the Windsor River. So I suppose we could do it halfway. There is, as far as I know, it's a division, so maybe perhaps it could be both. But there was a demonstration organized by Unifor, the auto workers union, the auto worker segment of Unifor, which now represents other lines of work. There's a big question mark for people who think about unions and how they can be most effective. But we want to hear about that. There was also not only a demonstration on the Windsor side, but there was one on the Detroit side. And while they both those demonstrations agreed that the tariffs being brought down by Trump, they didn't exactly coordinate. See, this is all very, we were trying to understand labor politics and where unions and working class Canadians fit into the picture of the current unfolding crisis under the management of Donald Trump. So anyway, we'll be getting into that. An important matter that will also be kind of a thread and has been a thread for the Taylor Report is the attitude or posture taken by the Canadian and other Western states towards the People's Republic of China, which is currently is the world's leading producer of automobiles. And they have now a runaway lead in development of electric vehicles. And this is a really important phenomena. And it is producing a kind of a crisis mental crisis here, because as I read in the Globe today, the statement is about the crisis, the tariff business, and as it applies to auto, according to the Globe, a business opinion writer, the United States and China are forcing countries to choose sides, and that's a serious misrepresentation of the issue, because one side, that would be China, just for the short form, which has said they want international trade rules. You know, you've heard about the rules-based international order that Chrystia Freeland, she's now in somewhere back in the ranks. And others, of course, the Liberal government last, all said this, that we have a rules-based order. Well, Actually, there is international trade, and there are is a International Trade Organization, the World Trade Organization. All of them, these bodies, regulate and mediate differences between trading states. And China, and I have to put this in italics, Canada, are saying from separate microphones that they want that international trade order to be maintained. And that what is happening is, and there's no disputing on this side of the border, is that the U.S. administration has chosen to go outside the rules-based order trade, and instead of doing what it insists it has to be done, which is go to mediation or to have it legally concluded as to if there's been a violation. And what's happening is the United States is violating, and they are, yes, as the Globe says, forcing people to choose. It is not China that's forcing anybody to choose. And as a matter of fact, they are arguing that there is a system to regulate trade, well known, and that's where these trade disputes have to be settled. But instead, we have what is called a tariff war. Tariff war is like operating with pirates. They make up their own rules. And Trump has raised the skull and crossbones, and he's saying it's going to be this way, or you'll have to live with the consequences to all the other states. So it's very worrying that people are buying or permitted to make false arguments that this is somehow two sides, the People's Republic of China and the United States causing trouble for everybody else. And I underline that because, and we'll be asking Tony Leo about this because he's been following it very closely. I understand that at the rally yesterday and in an official statement, the head of the Unifor Union said the real problem, we shouldn't be having a problem with our neighbor. You know, we're good neighbors, so we shouldn't be having a problem. We should work this out because the real problem is China. And the description of what it is that makes them the real problem is that they are the world's leading producer of automobiles and that they are a growing economy. And I don't know whether it's established, it's the biggest or the largest, but my guess is that it is. Not only is it a huge market, a huge trading industrial state, but it is going about its business. It's a developing country. That's another thing that drives Trump and his friends mad, is talking about China as the great menace. All China is doing is recovering from 100 years of being right under the boot, literally the boot, under the boot of Western powers. I hope you all know that when they they had the international quarter in the city of Shanghai, they had signs that said, no dogs or Chinese allowed. This was the wonderful Germans, French, and Americans, British, when they were in Shanghai. And this was all really a result of the Opium Wars. And so China was under the boot for 100 years. And then they were invaded by Japan, and they took casualties far out of proportion to anything we couldn't even begin to appreciate here. the percentage it would be of the Canadian population if we had anything equivalent. And of course, the war was fought on their land, their territory, and it was their blood. It was civilians. This is something we have not experienced. And yet, there we have here this union leader saying something which is curious, because if there's one thing that Canadians are now clear about, it is that Donald Trump, his administration, and there's no disputing it, and he'd be the first to tell you, is going to change all the systems around to please themselves, because they come first. This is deeply offensive and threatening, as Canadians seem to understand, because sovereignty as we know it, is we're being told, is not something he has to be concerned about. And so properly, people's fury over that subject has been directed towards the administration in Washington. That's all very clear. So you have odd, curious, I almost call it neuroses, coming from Upper Canada. You have Doug Ford went off to get 90 minutes with a secretary or something. And he said, we have to really, you know, we got to get focused on China. You shouldn't pick on us. So what he's actually saying, and I'm pointing out that Unifor leader said exactly the same thing. You got to get focused on China. So what you're saying is, here's a bully, and he doesn't mind being called a bully, because he knows that he has a certain flair for that. So, all right, so here's a bully. Everybody says this is wrong. You can't have peace among states and happy relations if you're going to have a state that says we're the most important and everybody else will have to get out of our way. And no, the law doesn't interest us that much. And international relations don't interest us. We're just going to do this. So that's the problem. You just heard it. That is the problem. So why would we find a labor leader, so-called, I'm going to say, and a premier of Ontario saying, bully the other guy. Here's somebody you should bully. Go and bully them. So in other words, we're not opposed to the idea of somebody being a bully. We just want them to bully, not bully us. As a matter, and if they will bully somebody else, we'd be happy to help them. We'll join in. And let me walk you back a step or two on that point. When Joe Biden was the president of the United States, and you remember the guy, Justin Trudeau, was the prime minister of Canada, last summer, they agreed, these would be the liberals, progressives or whatever they are, they agreed to put a 100% tariff on Chinese automobiles, especially electric vehicles, 100%. And hardly anybody batted an eye. Oh, go ahead and do that. So we were really comfortable sticking it to them. 100% is a loud slap. And you can ask our canola farmers if I got that right. They would say, yeah, that was pretty loud because we're out of business now. Thanks a lot. Farmers don't count as much as the other guys, or we can sacrifice the canola guys. So here, this is what we did. We joined in, and Biden wanted us to do it. By the way, it wasn't Canada's idea. It was Biden started it. And then he said, Canada, we're looking at you to join us. So typical of this style of Canadian politics, they said, oh, well, we're not just going to jump through a hoop. We're going to give it a couple of months. We're going to study it and see what our tariff policy towards China should be. So they studied it. And what do you know? After studying, their position became exactly what the Joe Biden administration, the American administration, said they thought it'd be a good idea to do. So we did exactly what they wanted to do, and it was a 100% tariff. That was brilliant. And nobody batted an eye. Everybody said, yeah, okay, so stick it to them. Then, of course, we get down the road, we run into Donald Trump, and he says, I'm going to put 35% tariff on you, your steel, your automobiles, your minerals, et cetera. Everybody said, Mike, he's inhumane. A man's a maniac. He's all kinds of terrible things. We said all those things when it's applied to us. But there's no principle involved here because we did it 100% to China and patted ourselves on the back. So we're not against bullies. We like bullies. We just want the bully to pick on somebody else because we're a small bully. And we know that if the big guy and we are together, we'll get part of that. It's like being running with lions, you know. Maybe it's like being a hyena. He makes the kill and we wait until he's finished lunch and then we take what's left. I hate to put it that way, but that's basically how it looks. So the point of this little sermon is that actually we should say, in truth, we do believe in the long-established international trade bodies. We believe in them because that's a peaceful and sensible way to solve differences on issues of production of goods and how, if there's a conflict between trading partners, that take it to the World Trade Organization, of which China is a member, and sort it out. But don't start this thing, and this is going to be the sermon for the day to Tony as well, we're going to be talking about it. Don't join the pirates and say, well, you know, we have to choose sides. No, we don't. All we have to say is we intend to practice trade according to international law and the WTO, et cetera. So again, this is the Taylor Report. It's very important in my mind that we know these things and keep track of them. As I say, we're going to be talking about that further. In a few moments, I think we're going to be talking to Tony, but I'll just point out today is, I know you know, it is voting day, and bless your hearts, everybody go and do their duty. And so my understanding is half of Canadians already done their duty. I was quite impressed that the parties released their programs after people had already begun to vote. I think somebody ought to have talk about whether this system has any logic. It strikes me that there shouldn't be a vote until parties have told everybody what their party platform is. I don't even know if it's a great idea to have advanced pollings to such an extent that, you know, dramatic things could happen between the time you voted and it's completed. One of the candidates might say something quite remarkable, and you might wish you hadn't voted for the person, or you wish you had voted. So, to my mind, it's a bizarre situation. I was going to say on the other thing about the 28th, if you were here in Toronto, April 28, 1813, in the War of 1812, you would have seen 12 U.S. ships off Fort York, and they would be in their second day of occupation. General Zebulon Pike had landed on the 27th from those 12 ships, and they captured Fort York. General Sheaffe of the British forces had withdrawn, and he did something rather clever. When knowing he couldn't defend the fort, I didn't think it was wise to try. He put a fuse to the powder magazine, and he had the largest explosion at that point in history in North America. They blew the fort sky high, and General Zebulon Pike of the American forces was killed, along with some British prisoners that he was talking to when it blew up. It was a very important moment, but it's kind of interesting to look out at the lake and say, and know that on this date there were 12 warships sitting there. And it's quite a remarkable story. Just to contextualize, they came from Sackett's Harbor, which is opposite Kingston. There was an American fort at Sackett's Harbor. There was, of course, a large British fort at Kingston, which was more strategic than York. However, York was strategic in the sense that they were building two warships here. Both of them were destroyed when the American forces came. But this York was a relay point for, and where they stacked ammunition and supplies to ship further down to a western tip of Lake Erie to Detroit. And so the British wanted to make sure they held on to Detroit. They needed Fort York for that purpose, it was considered by the Americans a soft target. Kingston was a hard target. It was a larger force, and they would have had to make a stubborn resistance would have led to casualties heavy on both sides. So they decided to strike at York, which is less well defended. So this is the Taylor Report. That was a little bit of history, and we're going to be calling Tony Leah, and I think we have a little music. I don't know if it's appropriate, but we're going to play it anyhow.